Is this one on? Do I need to do anything? All right. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Go ahead and have a seat. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Sit down. All righty. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You are in a great place. You're at Hiles Anderson College. You're all nuts. You're all crazy. You're all insane. What Brother Bushy was saying is don't take for granted what you have right now. You're here at college and you're going to enjoy it. I came to Hiles Anderson College when I was 17 years old. Walked on the college campus, and that was a couple years ago. And walked on the campus, had no idea what God had for me. I didn't know a single soul here at the place but me and God. And I thought God had forgotten where I was at some time there. And I came to this place, and it has been a part of my life and part of my ministry, a part of my entire being for all these years from the time I was 17 on. And I used to come here to the college chapel, sit out there, watch Brother Hiles come up here, Dr. Evans and others. And now Brother Hiles is with the Lord. John Rice is with the Lord. These guys just come preach here. And now it's a whole new generation. And there's going to be a day when somebody out there is going to be sitting in that chair. There's going to be a day. If the Lord tarries and doesn't return, there's going to be a day when us old guys are going to be gone. And some of you are going to be the ones standing in the classroom here. You'll be teaching in the class. You'll be... And let me just say this. I used to be in the class, and now I teach in the class, and I like to give the test better than I like to take the test. Amen? Amen. So it gets better, folks. It gets better. Hang in there. It gets better. It's all right. But in my classes, we don't have tests. We have celebrations of knowledge and wisdom. Some of my students celebrate longer than others in those times, but we celebrate knowledge and wisdom. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 33. When I came as a freshman at Hiles Anderson College, I had come from a fundamental independent Baptist church, a soul-winning, bus-running, fundamental right-wing King James-only Baptist church. That's the way I came. So I grew up. I had a good home. I had mom and dad who were good, solid Christian people. And my dad was a deacon in the church, and he drove a bus, and we'd pick up kids on the bus route every week, and we'd go out and round them up. And my mother taught Sunday school, and we were very involved. Anytime the church doors were open, I mean, we were there. It was just the way it is. And so when I came to Hiles Anderson College and I read the rule book, I laughed. I read in there, it says, "You must go to church." I'm going, "Phew! Who wouldn't go to church? I mean, why are you here? You know. Yeah, I mean, you're going to the ministry. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, who wouldn't go to church?" And then I had to get my roommate. I said, "Good night." I don't know how you do it now, probably with all electronic, but you had to sign in, you had to sign out, had to let somebody know, you had to get a pass to go someplace. And people were all, "Oh, I can't believe I have to do this." But at my house, I had to check with my dad, check with my mom. Every time I left, I had to get permission to go. And so it really wasn't a big deal to me. But the thing is, when I came to Hiles Anderson College, it took me to a next level, if you will, of Christianity. In the Christian realm, I didn't ever really understand. Brother Hiles, of course, was known for many things. Building a church, of course. He built the world's largest Sunday school. His preaching. But one of the big things he was known for was soul winning. And soul winning, when I came to Hiles Anderson College, I had won my first soul when I was 15 years old. But I hadn't won very many people. After that, I had won some. When I came to Hiles Anderson College is where I learned how to be a soul winner and how to really make a difference when you're out dealing with folks. And I want to remind you of that today a little bit. It's nothing new. You're not going to walk out of here and say, "Well, I never heard anything like that before." I'm going to tell you some things that you've already heard. But I see as a pastor, you know, I, 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 you guys that travel a lot, I'm finding there are a lot of churches, a lot of places that are backing off of the bus ministries, they're backing off of the soul winning, they're backing off of all these things, and it's a great concern to me because these guys are fundamental Baptists, and some of them from our college, and they know better than this, but you know, the main thing is that you got to win people to Christ. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason Jesus came to this earth was not to give us an example of a teacher, not to give us an example of a leader, but to win the lost and provide salvation for us. And that's why he came. I'm all for discipleship, but you know there's a thing that comes before discipleship, and that's called soul winning. And if you don't win somebody, who are you going to disciple? Brother Bushy, I had a man in my church. Pastor, I don't think we have much of a discipleship program here. I said, really? He said, well, yeah. We need to disciple these people that are getting saved. I said, well, we're working at that. And he goes, well, we don't need to keep winning all these people until we disciple these other ones. And I looked at him. I said, well, that's wonderful. Who are you discipling right now and who have you won? Well, he hadn't won a soul the whole time I've been his pastor. I said, that's wonderful. You're big on discipleship, but buddy, you got to win somebody before you can disciple them. You got to tell somebody how to get saved before you can teach them the word of God. You got to tell them how to get saved before you can help them to grow in grace. You got to tell them how to get saved and they got to be born again before you can get them to be a good Christian. And buddy, if you're not winning souls, discipleship is nothing. And don't get me, somebody's going, he's against discipleship. I'm not, but I'm for the step that comes before that. And that's called winning somebody to the Lord. What good is it to have a church if people aren't getting saved? A church is not a church if they're not getting people saved. If people are not getting saved, what purpose is a church? They can go to social clubs all over the place, but when they come to church, they need the gospel, they need people or saved to go out and tell them the gospel and share the gospel with them. And if you're not winning souls to Christ, you miss the very first part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel to every creature. You cannot win the wrong person to Christ. Years ago, Brother Eddie Lapina had a teenage soul winning marathon. And so I was one of the drivers. And so he said, okay, Brother Bill, you take some of these junior high boys and take them. So I took them up on my bus route on the south side of Chicago. And on my bus route on the south side of Chicago, I had won a fella to the Lord, and his name was Chewy. That wasn't his real name. It's Chewy. He was a gangbanger and all this, you know. And so I took boys. I said, you guys stay on this block and this block. I'm going to check on you and all that. And I came around the block, and here's this fellow with a cigarette in one hand, a beer can in the other, bandana around his head, and he's looking at the junior high boys going like this at him, and they're all going, ah! And he just chewing. I walk over to see what's going on. It was Chewy. I said, Chewy, why are you messing with my boys? Oh, man, but Bill, I wasn't messing with him. I would just tell him, don't be scared to talk to guys like me, because people like me need Jesus too, man. Chewy, don't scare my junior high boys, all right? Back off here. They don't know this stuff yet. And you can't tell the wrong person, but the Bible says here, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, wheresoever. One thing you should learn while you're at Hal's Anderson College is how to read the Bible, all right? You will learn that one of these days. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 7, so thou, O man of God, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt warn them. Midterms have been hard on me, folks. I'm having a hard time reading this scripture here, all right? Verse 7 again. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, the Bible says that in the Bible days, they didn't have, obviously, stealth fighters and all that. The cities would be in a wall, and they would have a watchman on the wall and a guy with a trumpet. Where's my Andrew? Where you at? Get up here, boy. There we go. I told him, I said, just sit down front. Come on up here, man. They have a watchman on the wall, so they would have a wall, and the people would go out, and the people would be working in the field out here. And as the people were working in the field, the watchman would be watching out for anything that looked dangerous. And if he saw something, he was supposed to sound the trumpet, an alarm. That's a pitiful alarm, but that's all right. Stay right there. You're supposed to sound the alarm. When he sounded the alarm and the people heard the trumpet, they heard the trumpet. And they would come inside the wall and they would close the gate and they would be safe. Now, I imagine that they probably, I went to public school. I never had the privilege of going to Christian school until I came to Hiles Anderson College, and we had fire alarms. And we would have fire drills. Any of you have fire drills? And the fire alarm always sounds terrible. The fire alarm is always, a lot like our trumpet today, all right? The fire alarm, now, in the public school, when we heard the, then we knew, okay, fire alarm, fire drill, we go, stop at the locker, get some snacks, okay. Walk out, go talk to your friends. Hey, what's happening, man? All right, yeah. Stand outside eating your snack, waiting to get called in. Then they call us in, we go back in, go by the locker again, get some more snacks, go on down to class, get there about 5 minutes before it's over. Okay, all right, there we go. And one time we heard the fire alarm. Okay, go down the hall, get my snacks. Oh, here's my locker over here. Get my snacks, walk outside. So we're all out there standing around talking, eating our snacks, and all of a sudden, you start smelling smoke. And then we see smoke coming up, and everybody, yes! Yes! Woo! Yes! All right! Burn, baby! Block the fire trucks! Don't let them come in! We were hungry after knowledge. We were thirsting after knowledge. I do not know why they have to have for the fire drill. Why couldn't they have something, a nice little recording? There's a fire, please get out. There's a fire, please get out. That'd be much easier, wouldn't it? Now, I imagine they probably had trumpet drills back then. Okay. And And the people are going, oh, good night, that guy's up there blowing that trumpet again. That's the third time this weekend there been anything out here. I don't want to go all the way back in that city. I'm not going all in there. My soul, I'm not going to do that again. And so they closed the gate. Now, the Bible says if the watchman sounded the alarm and the people refused to come in, it wasn't his fault. It was their fault. They made that choice. And by the way, when you tell people about Christ, some will not decide to receive Christ. You can't make them. You know, I can't. I learned a long time, Brother Bushy, I can't make anybody get saved. No matter how much I want them to get saved, I can tell them the gospel. I can reason with them. I can share it with them. But I can't make anybody get saved. Each individual person has to decide for themselves whether they receive Christ or reject him. I can't do it for them. And so what happens if the enemy's coming? The trumpet sounds. The people stay out there and the enemy kills them. They say, it's better to get killed out here than have to listen to that trumpet again. I love you, Brother Andrew. You're a good guy. Now, the thing is though, let's just say that here's the enemy. I had the people out working in the fields around the city. The watchman's up there, but he gets distracted. He's watching I Love Lucy reruns or something. Okay. He's up there and they're not paying attention, and the trumpet does not sound, and the people die. God said, okay, I'm holding the watchman responsible for this. Now, one more sound. I got to hear it one more time. That's awesome, isn't it? Thank you, Brother Andrew. That's good. Good job. All right. Now, it comes down to this. It's not my job to get them saved. It's my job to warn them. It's my job to get out there and tell them. Now, the thing is, if I do not go out and tell them, if I don't tell them, some will die without Christ because we didn't get out to tell them. But it's not my job to get them saved. It's my job to go tell them. It's my job to get the gospel out to them. It's my job to go knock on a door. It's my job to talk to somebody, hand them a gospel tract. It's my job to go to their house with the Bible and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. It's my job to do that. I'm going to tell you what. And by the way, when y'all soul winning, it's a wonderful thing. It is exciting. It is great. All kinds of things happen. I knocked on the door not a while back here, and knocked on the door in my town, knocked on the door, and the fellow opened the door, and he said, come in. Okay. He said, come in. We went into the kitchen. He had the wall torn apart, and all the plumbing was exposed. He said, look at that. That's just stupid. Stupid, stupid. Look at that. Stupid. I said, oh, yeah, that's stupid. Stupid. I don't know who would ever do plumbing like that. So me neither, man. I don't know. He said, just plain stupid. Who would do something like that? Just stupid. I said, yes, sir, it's stupid. It's stupid. It's just stupid. By the way, who are you? He said, I'm Bill McSpadden, pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I came over here to talk to you about your soul. He said, come on. We went in the living room, sat down. He started crying. His name is Eugene. Eugene started crying. And he said, pastor. So when I was a little boy, my mama would take me to revival services and gospel sings. She said I hated it and didn't like it and didn't want to go. I was trying to get out of it. My mama talked to me about getting saved, but I never would ever get saved. He said, but my mama died not long ago. And he said, I'd like to see my mama again. He said, if I get saved, I'll see my mama again, won't I? I said, yeah, Eugene, you get saved, you're going to see your mom again. Okay, preacher, get with it. I went through the plan of salvation with him and told Eugene about Jesus Christ. And Eugene, with tears in his eyes, bowed his head in the room, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he looked at me. He said, thank you, preacher. He said, thank you. He said, I'm going to see my mama again. I said, yes, you are. You know, soul winning is exciting. Soul winning is wonderful. I'll tell you what, you go out knocking on doors. And by the way, don't be worried. You say, well, I'm kind of scared something bad will happen. God will protect you. God will take care of you. I was knocking on doors around the lake by our church there. They got a lake district there. I was knocking on the door. I walked up this one house, big old Saint Bernard. What's that one big dog, a real tall one? Great Dane. Great Dane. And a Great Dane and me looking eye to eye. because I'm not all that tall, you know. This Great Dane comes out there, growling, and there's nothing between me and him. It's just him and me looking eye to eye, and he's going, and I'm thinking, man, this is a rough way to die. Night. Good thing. He's going, I looked at him and said, hey, don't be rude. Said, I'm the Lord's servant, and I've come talk to these people about the Lord. Now, you straighten up and come over here. Come on. He stopped growling, came over by me. Stuck my hand out. He sniffed it. I pet him on the head. Then he started leaning on me. Okay, we're pals, buddy. Here we are. I walked up to the house, and here he is leaning against me. I'm standing there. Knocked on the door. Lady opens the door, and she said, I said, hi, I'm pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I said, how'd you get up to the door? I said, I just walked up. She said, he never lets anybody come up to the house. I said, we're buddies. That lady and her husband got saved and trusted Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you what, soul winning works, and it's exciting, and God will take care of you when you're out there. Look, he said he'll watch over you and protect you. Just go on and tell somebody about the Lord. Hey, the world is dying without Christ, and if they die without Christ, they will spend an eternity in hell. And somebody, God said, I made you a watchman. Go tell them, warn them, sound the trumpet. Do it better than Andrew, but sound the trumpet. And tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We were in Peru, not Peru, South America. There's a town by us named Peru. And we also have Mexico by us. We've got international around my house. It's incredible. And we have Peru. And it's a Thursday evening. Some of our folks, we all went down to Peru to knock on doors and tell people about the Lord. And it was an odd number of people. And so I said, okay, you fellas go on this street. You fellas go on that street. And there's a man and his wife. You know, in the churches, and they came, and I said, okay, you folks go down that one side, and I'll go this side of the street, and we'll just go down the street together that way. And so we're going through, and so I went up this house, and I heard screaming inside, oh, my soul, screaming, crying out, and you couldn't make out what they were saying. Ah! Just one voice. So I knocked on the door. Oh, nobody home. Okay. All ready. Okay. A married couple's across the street watching me. I knocked on the door. No answer. Just all I heard. So we had these door hangers that were putting on the doors. Had invitation on one side, gospel on the other. And the one door was open like this. The screen door is open. So I just hung on the screen door and started to walk away. And so I started to walk away. This woman opened the door. I'm talking the maniac of Gadara. Hair matted and filthy. And she came out and she just looked at me. And I'm thinking, oh my. They didn't teach me this in church yet. I got a problem here. She just, and just like this. I mean, she literally just. And I'm thinking, what do you do with this? You know, I mean, just cast the devil out. I command you, come out of her. I don't know. I just said, hi. I'm Bill McSpadden, pastor of Liberty Baptist. She grabbed the door hanger off the door, looked at it, looked at me, looked at that, looked at me, hung it back on the door and went in the house. Oh, man, okay. Whew. Went across the street, and the fellow across the street opened his door. He said, man, he said, that lady's crazy. Thanks for the warning, pal. I told him how to get saved, and he got saved. He said, man, he said, something's evil over there. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if she's on drugs or what the deal is. I said, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus loved you, and I'm going to tell you about the Lord, tell you how to get saved. And that man trusted Christ as his Savior. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that awesome? The other day I was in Logansport, Iowa. I live in Indiana. I used to be in Iowa. Any Iowans here? Oh, man, bless your heart. All right. I used to be in Iowa, but I was in Logansport, Indiana, and I was knocking on doors, and nobody would talk to me, nothing. I couldn't get anybody. You ever have one of those times, just knock on door after door after door, nobody talked to you, nobody wants anything, nothing. So I saw this fella sitting up on the porch. I walked up on the porch, and I said, hey, man, if you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. Introduce myself. He said, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. He said, I just got out of federal prison. I said, really? What for? I don't know if I should run or not, you know. What for? He said, dealing drugs and running guns. I said, okay, sit down. He said, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? He said, well, I've been a Catholic. I said, good, okay, let me tell you about salvation. Told him how to get saved. His name's Juan. Juan bowed his head, and he trusted Christ, crying tears running down his cheeks. He prayed and asked the Lord to save him. He looked at me. He said, man, he said, something just happened in here. He said, I prayed a lot of prayers, and it didn't do anything for me. He said, but something just happened in here. I said, that's the Holy Spirit just moved in, Juan, and you just got saved. And, boy, I went back to see him a couple weeks after that. He came, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. He said, I'll tell you what, God gave me a job. He's telling me all this stuff. And I had one of my other men with me, and he said, oh. I said, this is Brother Bradley. He was so excited. And so I said, well, Juan, that's wonderful. I got to go. So he came over, gave me a big old hug, and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. There are a lot of things I could say right now, but so then Brother Bradley, he's very straight-laced, very everything just perfect. So Brother Bradley starts to stick his hand out. Oh no, he grabs him and hugs him. I have a man in my church who grew up on Chicago's gangland area, was a gangbanger. His dad left him when he was real little. He didn't even know his father. His mother never, ever told him that she loved him one time in his whole life. The only thing she ever did was beat him, and she beat him with electric cords and everything else. Came to our church, and I talked to him, and he said, yeah, you grew up in Chicago. He said, I remember as a little kid, he said, I didn't think anybody loved me. He said, but there are some people from that Hiles Anderson College. They had a bus in my neighborhood. He said, I don't know their names. He said, we'll call them the brothers. He said, but every Saturday morning, me and my sister would stay at home and wait until they came because we knew they loved us. He said, I didn't think anybody in the world loved me, but I knew that those kids from that college, they came by our house every week on Saturday. He said, they loved me, and they made a difference in my life. And we went to church on that bus, and he made a difference, and he started crying. He said, Pastor, he said, tell those kids over there at the college, he said, that they are making a difference. He said, yeah. He said, my bus captain has no idea where I'm at, and I don't remember his name. He said, but I'll remember as long as I live that man would come by my house, and he loved us. And he said, and I'm saved today because of a Hiles Anderson College student that came to our house and loved some little bus kids. And I got news for you this Saturday. There's some little bus kids up there, and they don't think anybody in the world cares about them, but they're waiting for the bus workers from Hiles Anderson College to come and knock on their door and say, hey, we love you. Come on to church with us. And they're waiting for you to come. It is not in vain. What you're doing is not in vain. You go talk to those kids. I don't know if I'm making a difference. I've got a man in my church. He runs a PA. He sings. He teaches Sunday school. And he's there because some bus workers from Hiles Anderson College loved him enough to go by his house and tell him about Jesus Christ. I've got news for you. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You go soul winning, it's not in vain. You pass out a tract, it's not in vain. go visit that little bus kid that's going to be sitting there waiting for you Saturday. And it is not in vain. What I'm trying to get you to do is one thing, young people. Just go soul winning. Just tell people about Jesus Christ. I've done it for all these years. I could stand here for 2 or 3 hours and tell you stories about people that have won to Christ. But the main thing in all of it, learn everything you're supposed to learn, but when you get out of here, go knock on a door. Tell somebody about Jesus. How many degrees you have does not matter. What your title is does not matter. What your profession is does not matter. What matters is Jesus said, I've come to the world. I've come to seek to save that which was lost. And he says, I've put you as a watchman on the wall to warn the wicked from his way and tell him there's a hell, but that there's a God who loves him and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for him. And there are many people out there just waiting and longing to hear it, but they don't know where to go. Let's just go soul winning this week. What do you say?